Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Welcome to the Drop the Needle podcast, your backstage pass to the corporate jungle. I'm your host, Jim Allstott, and here, industry titans step up to the mic, sharing their epic journeys. We're hitting the high notes and the low notes of their careers, creating a symphony of success. This isn't just another interview show. It's where truth bombs are dropped and secrets are revealed. So grab your conductor's baton, because who knows, this just might help you compose the next huge hit of your career. Are you ready? Let's go.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Drop the Needle podcast. I'm your host, Jim Allstott, and I am so happy you all decided to join us. I'm thrilled to introduce today's guest, Kat Jaber, an extraordinary intuitive coach and channel whose work has transformed lives across the globe. With over 35 years immersed in metaphysical studies and serving as a dedicated coach since 2005, Kat possesses a rare gift for downloading messages directly from spirit guides. Her unique approach blends this spiritual connection with the strategic mindset she's honed during her 30-year career as an award-winning advertising copywriter. Kat's clients consistently describe her as profoundly insightful, genuinely compassionate, and refreshingly relatable. Whether you're seeking clarity, confidence, deeper spiritual connection, or simply the freedom to embrace your authentic self, Kat creates a space where abundance and joy become not just possibilities, but realities. Get ready for a conversation that promises both practical wisdom and spiritual elevation. Welcome, Miss Kat Jaber. Welcome, Kat.
Thank you, Jim. Can anybody keep a straight face when you do their introduction? I mean, it's so good.
So I've had a couple of people say, can I have that?
Yeah, no kidding.
No, it's good. You know what, though? Here's the thing. I had gotten a really, really wonderful letter from a couple of the guests that I had on recently, Joe McQuillan and John St. Augustine, and they were both just so kind and giving their compliments and everything. And I just said, you know what? It's really easy when you have great guests. It just makes my job so much easier, and that is the same with you. So I'm
can't imagine that you would attract anything but great guests.
You're too kind.
Put out the best energy. You do.
I appreciate that. And I've been very fortunate. And quite honestly, I owe so much of that to Jen Weigel. She has been such an incredible supporter and mentor and facilitator for me, where she's made these wonderful introductions. And well, Mandy introduced you and I, so it just, I've been fortunate. So, and I appreciate your time again.
Oh, thank you.
So let's dive on in here. What I'd like is for you to maybe give everyone a little taste of your professional background and then how you transitioned into today.
Okay. Well, I started out as a copywriter. I actually started out in TV production, but we're really rolling back far. That was my ambition. And then I happened to, probably I was manifesting back then and I didn't know it. I happened to stumble over an opportunity in advertising. And, you know, I started out as a freelancer and I ended as a freelancer. I've just always been a free spirit. But
I couldn't tell.
I went into a brainstorming session to watch as a little, you know, here, little girl, you want to watch how we do things. And I sold them 6 concepts. I was like, well, what about this? What about if you said this? That was probably my guides talking even then. And they bought 6 of them, and one of them became the major ad for their campaign, little girl. And that just got me going, and worked for ad agencies and also worked for myself as a freelancer. And started out actually on the West Coast, then came back East. And, you know, I don't want to do the math because it makes me sound prehistoric, but let's just say decades, not 1,000 decades, just a few, but, yeah, that was my thing, you know? And I think, you know, since I'm an intuitive coach and a channel, I didn't know I was a channel back then, but, I didn't even know I was in. Well, I guess I knew I was intuitive. You know, the thing with intuition is we all get hits and then we go, nah, you know.
So, right.
What I was told in advertising was don't fall in love with your first idea. Like, keep going, which is good for most people because it's not your best idea. But honest to God, over and over again, I might do 30, 40 different angles on something and come back and it's the first idea again.
Yeah, it's amazing how that would happen with somebody that's an intuitive. You have all these different iterations of something and you go, yeah, but it's still not as good as my first one.
Right. And another problem I had was when we would be in client meetings and they would say, well, they bring up a, you know, I like this, but, or here's a, you know, some little nuance would come out that we didn't know about and couldn't anticipate. And I would solve the problem for them right on the spot. And guys would say, don't make it look so easy, you know, yeah, by the hour. So go and make them think you spent a few days on this.
That's right. Pace yourself.
Exactly. It's like, that's, well, they don't need you anymore now.
Yeah. Well, that was easy. what are we doing with you?
So the thing is, do you want to ask me how I got here?
Yeah. So that's what I wanted to follow up. I was just going to ask, okay, I understand that and that's wonderful, but I'd really like to know when your gifts came in, like loud and clear.
Well, I'm still waiting for that. No.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
They whisper. They're not loud. They're not that loud. But they are pushy because now that I've allowed myself to say that I do channel and I get guidance, it's not coming from me. They literally, you know how like a friend will hit you on the shoulder and say, go ahead, yep, don't do that, or say this. That's what they do. I can honestly feel them like hitting me on the shoulder. They always come in from this side. I was probably always, you know, this was probably with me my whole life. Mm. And what happens, and I think, you know, God gives us experiences so that we can turn around and understand each other and help each other. And what I see, I probably saw it then too. I think I did. There's a picture of me in my high chair at my first birthday, and my aunt is wagging her finger at me, probably being playful. And I have this look on my face like, you think so, lady. I had this, you know, strong spirit, and then I got gaslit. Ooh. Over and over and over again, mm-hmm, right? You don't think that, you're wrong. Especially if you see, you know how our parents used to say, do as I say, not as I do.
Oh yeah.
Like I'm sorry, but what you're doing is just so loud and it does. Why are the rules different for you than they are for me? I always had that spirit that said, you know, I am who I am. Mm-hmm. You know, we all come in with a really strong, that's why we love babies and puppies. They're what's the word? Unadulterated. What does that mean? Adults haven't gotten to you yet.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
So like over time, you just learn to dismiss everything that you get, everything that you feel. But I used to have like dreams and I wanted superpowers. I wanted supernatural powers. I didn't want to fly like Superman, but I, you know, I had stuff happen, but, you know, I had that near death experience like everybody else does. I was run over by a car when I was 17 and, I won't get into all the details, but they ran over me twice because they were drunk and we were all teenagers and we were at an outdoor party in the middle of the night. And the second time they ran over me, I left my body. I had a near-death experience. That word hadn't even, don't go Googling this, but that word hadn't even been coined yet. Right. So there was no way to describe it. And it was beautiful. And I did not come back like all the other people come back with a mission and, you know, a new passion for life. I kind of went like, I just passed up a really good opportunity here because I was on my way somewhere that was full of bliss and love and joy. And I heard myself say, then you don't get to finish. And then as soon as I heard that, and I think those are the guides, because it was like, the guides speak in my own voice, right? It sounds like
it was them
saying, you don't get to finish. And as soon as I heard that, I went, well, oh, not yet. And as soon as I said that, I could see myself down on the ground with people around me. And then it was like, whoosh, I'm back in my body and I'm looking up from my body. So that taught me, you know, I think I decided I was agnostic, and I still don't even know what the definition of that is. But somehow I decided I was agnostic before that happened. And it's like, okay, we can put that aside. There's definitely a being, a higher power.
Right.
The cool thing about this, not only did I get to see what's on the other side for a nanosecond, but I also, that car ran over me twice and I had zero broken bones.
That's incredible.
I was able to walk to the bathroom in the hospital with a little help, but I was walking that night. I had scratches on my shoulder. I had bruises on my legs. And that was
tire marks across your forehead.
I had tire marks on my thighs. I actually did.
Oh my gosh. I was just kidding.
No, it's true. And here we go again. I know what happened. The adults in the room were telling me that I hallucinated.
Right.
And that you weren't there, folks. I couldn't have been run over because something would have been broken. And it's like, okay, I had witnesses. There was a guy I was talking to. He knows I got run over. The people in the car knew I got run over. But people who weren't there decided because it didn't fit. And this is what we do, right? It didn't fit with their logical mind. And I think also, don't get me mad now. I think they didn't want to see me as special. You know, they might have had a little tiny, they were good people in a lot of ways, but they might have had a little touch of narcissism and they had to be the most special people. And so, you know, they convinced me that it was nothing big. I mean, it wasn't even a topic at dinner, you know?
Well, it is interesting how people, well, there's a few different things. So let's just say that somebody with gifts, let's say that you are someone with gifts, intuitive gifts, able to hear different things. It doesn't fit in the box of conventionality.
Absolutely.
You know, and then people, what's one of the first things that people do when they're frightened by something? They call it names. They get angry. They try to push it down. They try to dismiss it.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And unfortunately, we, as we go through life, it's almost that there is a grooming of sorts where you're, nope, that's not it. Nope, that's not it.
Yeah.
This is it. Just fit in this little box.
Yeah, I think of it as like conditioning. But you know what's interesting? What they just said while you were talking is, yeah, they dismiss it if they're afraid of it and it could be wonderful and they don't understand it.
Yes.
But like, look at what the hell's going on with the stock market. People aren't dismissing that. No, they're chewing it up. They're spinning it over and over and over again. They're rehashing it. They're making themselves crazy. They're afraid. And they won't let go of it. But if it's something that could be wondrous, I'm going to shut that down.
Well, right. They're trying to to reformat it or reframe it in something that's understandable to them, as opposed to being open to something else. And that's the interesting thing about there are people that I think that really truly struggle with this topic because of their analytical way of thinking, right? Yeah. In it, again, we're talking about being able to fit it into a box. So one of the things that I'm curious about is, what was it like for you when you finally went, oh, okay, I'm not crazy. I'm not what they say I am. I am who I think I am. What was that like when you had that revelation?
Well, I would say, again, it was more like little fortune cookie slips being left for me to find. Mm. I don't think it happened while I was like deep in my career in advertising. I do know in college, a friend of mine said, just to call me JB's, JB's, when is the last time your intuition got you in trouble? And I was like, never.
Right.
So that planted the seed. But when I decided that I couldn't live on just advertising alone, it was just not fulfilling enough.
Yeah.
And I already was informally coaching people, you know, my friends, and a lot of people were coming to me for advice. And so I decided to go get coach training and stuff. And it was really coming out during the training and getting validated a lot. So, and it played a role in my actual coaching sessions with people. But the thing is that I couldn't fully let go of advertising, and advertising still dominated my life up until a few years ago, when I just suddenly hit a wall and just said, I'm done.
Does that make sense, you know? Though? To me, it makes sense from the standpoint that, again, you're looking for familiarity, right? Your brain is always looking for something that's familiar. And if that's familiar to you, that industry, that environment, you're going to keep sliding back into it until there's some sort of discord or dissonance in there that you can't do it any longer.
Well, it's not that I trusted advertising more. I just didn't trust that I could make a living.
Ah, I got you. Okay.
Okay. I was making good money in advertising. So it's a hard thing to walk away from, you know? And a project, because I was freelance, a project would come in and it might be worth, you know, $35,000-$50,000. So it's like,
right.
Okay. And I'm making, you know, less than $200 an hour with a client. So,
right.
You know, what am I going to do?
You got to live.
I think the other thing is, when you, maybe other people think their profession is the snarkiest, but advertising is kind of a snarky, sarcastic, skeptical, fun, very fun people, but not woo-woo at all. Like, you know, you'd sooner die than be branded woo-woo.
See, that surprises me, though, because you'd think that advertising, there's more abstract thinking and more acceptance.
I know. Well, I have arguments in my head with these people who are skeptical, thinking, you know, you call yourself creative, and yet you can't think outside the box about this. But yeah. I think it was the fear of being laughed at, being, you know, look, they're not even in my home. I'm freelance. I don't even work in an office with people. And yet it's like the fear of like this making the circles. What does she think she is? You know?
Yeah.
And be quiet. And even now I still like, I don't have much of a presence on LinkedIn, but I'm going to. But it's like, I don't want, for a while, I think it's taken me a few years to get comfortable with it and say, this is who I am and this is what I do. And if you don't believe me, that's okay. You know, that's okay. Run along.
Yeah.
It's only come to me recently, Jim, that I am not here to bring skeptics across the bridge.
Right.
Okay. There are enough people who have open hearts, old souls, who want to be more themselves and want to honor that spirit inside them. And I can be working with them.
And there's plenty of them out there.
It's a lot less heavy lifting, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, my friend Joe McQuillan says, hey, I'm not here to convince anybody else. It's like a radio station. If you don't like the song, change the channel.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I believe that.
It took me a while to get there because I was raised as a people pleaser. So I need everybody to like me and everybody to be okay with what I'm doing, or I don't do it. And I didn't do it for a very long time.
So I was going to ask you this question because a lot of times, well, there's a follow-up question to that, to the one I'm about to ask, which is how were your gifts received by you, which I think is often something that isn't asked, because the follow-up is how were they perceived by others is usually the question that comes up. But I've recently started to think about the question, how am I receiving what I'm getting? Am I, and you mentioned it a little bit, you know, that's not it. I'm not hearing that. You dismiss it. So how are your gifts received by you first?
By me, for me?
Well, I mean, so all of a sudden you, well, maybe not all of a sudden, it starts to come in. It's more like instead of a tsunami, it's more like the waves lapping on the shore, coming in and out and in and out. And I'm just wondering how you received that. Did you push it away?
Well, or did you welcome it? Let me put it this way, because I think I'm a really quick study, but I'm also a knucklehead. So,
I might even be in front of you on that one.
But I keep making the same mistakes over and over again, you know. And as my college friend said, when's the last time your intuition ever got you in trouble? I could always, in hindsight, see that I had a nudging that said, I don't know about this. Maybe not. Don't let that person stay. I had a person come in, you know, out of the goodness of my heart to stay for a few nights, and I couldn't get her out of my house, you know? And it's like, and the guides were like, but it was like, nah, I think I know better here, you know?
Get out.
All I had to do was ask her to sweep the floor one time, and that was it. I was like, geez, if I'd known that sooner.
I would have done that a while ago. Damn.
Hotel Cat was very, very good to her. So it's funny. More like hindsight, you know, you learn from the times you ignore or the times you actually do. It's just trial and error, right? It's all a big experiment. But I think, so I have my own little, it's always, I only learn from like the things that didn't go right, in the beginning. Right. And then I do like magic and I do like miracles. And I think I'm a miracle because of the, you know, car experience. And also, you know, I've been given a couple of second shots at life. Mm-hmm. And so I like that. I'm leaning towards that anyway. Right. I mean, if you show me that I can pull a rabbit out of the hat and I didn't see a rabbit in there, I love that. I love being delighted, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and I love delighting my clients. And so I think a lot of it has come. Well, I'll tell you what happened. I think we're bouncing again. I'm going to try not to, but I would be in a session with somebody and they'd be saying something. And I feel a little bit like a soul whisperer. Like I'm reading between the lines. It's like, I hear you saying this, but this is what I'm getting down underneath that. Mm-hmm. And so being able to voice that and not being afraid that they'll be mad at me for saying it's not what you think it is, you know, which turns out that's exactly what they love. Is tell me, because I think it's up here and I'm hearing this down here, but then I would start to hear. So that's what I call the intuitive part. Mm-hmm. And then the channeling part, which I used to call 3 wise brain cells over my right ear. Is that a great name for a rock group?
Yes.
A little wordy, but yeah. They would say stuff and I would be looking at my client and I'd be hearing the stuff and I'm arguing with them while I'm trying to pay attention. And I'd be saying, I'm not going to say that. How would I know that? I'm not going to say that. And they'd be saying, say this, say this, say this. And then I'd say, well, this might say to my client, this might sound crazy, but, and whatever it was that they'd been telling me to say, the person, like you could just watch their heads explode in a good way. But, you know, it was like, oh my God, how would you know that? You know, how would you know that? Or that's so right. Or I just said that yesterday to my best friend, or this has come up for me 3 times this week. You know, it's that synchronicity. They're getting, I don't tell people stuff that surprises them. I tell them stuff that they knew, but didn't know they knew.
Right. So they didn't want to trust.
And I help them to see things in a different way. Like things that I think this is a very empowering thing. If somebody has a traumatic experience in their life, it's very hard not to walk through life thinking you're a little bit cursed or you've been punished or that life is going to always be hard for you. And I can tap right into, well, what does your soul think about this? And get what they came into this lifetime to learn and do and be and have. And I'm always saying, our souls came in here for adventure. Mm-hmm. We came here to have experiences. We came here to evolve. So we're supposed to get a little better than when we came in, mm-hmm. and to expand and have a bigger understanding of life and spirit and, you know, all the good stuff. And so your soul, I think of it like whitewater rafting. Your soul comes in and goes, oh, let's go down. You know, I used to go down this river up in Maine, and it was the wildest river you could go on without like risking death. Mm. And it was fun. And it'd be like, all right, let's go down that one. And that's what the soul is like. Let's go learn about forgiveness and let's go
exhilaration,
learn.
Yeah.
Let's go learn how really powerful you are and nothing can really stop you. You know, so you might have something that feels like it should be the worst thing that could happen to anybody, but you're still here.
Yeah. And it's ends up being the best.
Yeah. If you know what to do with it.
Sure. Well, that makes sense.
Does that make sense? Did I answer
Absolutely.
The question?
Yeah, 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 yeah. No, you did. So a lot of times the people that I have on the show have a why with their gifts, if you know what I mean. Like why those gifts came into them. What's your why?
Why I got the gifts?
Yeah. Have you figured that out yet?
Oh, yeah. I'm an old soul. You know, this is not my first rodeo. And I probably keep coming back and going, either that was fun, let's do it again, only a little more exciting, or, mm-hmm. You know, let me be, I have this great desire to be a blessing to other people. Let me help somebody else see that their life is meant to be good, that their life is meant to be joyful. Maybe in other lifetimes, I didn't get that far. You know, maybe it was,
yeah.
I've had people do past life stuff on me and they've said I was always like this spiritual healer thing. And that there were times where it was not okay for me to be out in the open mm-hmm. and that people I loved would get hurt as a way to keep me quiet. So maybe this is maybe I've gotten to this point where it's like, I don't have to be afraid of being quiet, even though it's taken me all this time to learn to start saying.
No, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. I'm going to interject and share a recent story, if I can, for just a second. There's a wonderful woman that is part of the Spiritual Social Club. Her name's Heather Sprigg. And Heather is an angel intuitive. And she's just now getting into past life regressions. And I had never been hypnotized before, but there's going to be an upcoming show here where I was hypnotized by somebody, a hypnotherapist who is in Qatar. Her name's Carrie Mueller. But the story I want to share is with Heather. And during this regression, it went to a recent life or an end of life. And we got there and, you know, what look down, what's on your feet, what are you dressed as, where are you at, you know, what do you look like, all of those things. And she asked what year it was. I said 1932. And she said, where are you? I said, I'm on a roof. And she said, is this where your life ends? I said, yes. And she had said, what happened? And I said, I jumped off the roof and committed suicide. Ooh. Yeah. Well, I'd never considered myself to be someone who was suicidal or, you know, anything like that, or would do something like that. And she said, she asked why. And I said, it was too much and it wasn't going the way it was supposed to. It wasn't happening. I wasn't able to finish what I wanted to do. So it's interesting that you say finish. You mentioned that a couple of different times.
Yeah.
Not done. So then that also explained my fear of heights that made no sense. You know, it's not like I'm walking across the beam on a skyscraper as my job or anything, but I had something. It was a ridiculous fear of heights for no reason, right? So found out that that was probably why, because I jumped, you know, that didn't explain that. And then she asked to go back and then remove myself from that. And there was a point in there, and I don't remember the conversation because it was a conversation she was having with my higher self in this instance. Mm-hmm. And she said, why did I come back in this life? And I listened to the recording and it kind of freaked me out a little bit because the voice, the higher self, said, because I hadn't finished, I hadn't completed what I was supposed to do. And she said, she had asked, is he on the path to do what he's supposed to do this time? Yes.
Oh, cool.
Definitely.
Cool.
And will he finish? Oh, yes. He will do what he's supposed to do this time. So I found that to be, I just give myself the chills.
Yeah.
Talking about that. So it's very interesting. And keep in mind here that only recently have I started to open myself up to those, the realm of possibilities that these things do occur. My mom was someone that was on the spiritual side and intuitive, and that's probably where I get some of these things, and from my grandparents and things of that nature. But it's, I like to think that I have a healthy dose of skepticism with everything that I bring to these podcasts. And that's why I find all of this very interesting. But I just wanted to interject that.
Sorry, go ahead, finish your
thought. I just wanted to interject that little story because I found it to be relevant to what we were talking about.
Well, I think the skepticism is helpful because it helps you. Look, there are people who don't have that and they're not relatable to the people that, you know, we're here to help the people that want to believe and just need some encouragement. And mm-hmm. we understand the doubts. We understand the, who are you to think that, you know? That's what makes us useful, you know? If we were in some other place, and there are people who don't speak to the people with a little bit of skepticism, that's fine. But our people need us to understand, because you're having the experience so that you can go 3 feet ahead and turn around and help the next person.
Exactly. Exactly. Know? It's the pay it forward. And that's one of the big premises of this show, is that people have a safe place. I'm not going to label somebody and say you're crazy or you're full of shit or anything like that. It's to say, okay, yeah, you know, everybody's got their own feelings, their own opinions. And I'll go back to Joe's comment. If you don't like it, change the channel, because there's plenty of podcasts out there, and it doesn't hurt my feelings that somebody would disagree with this or think, you know, you're nuts too.
Stay, Jim. They're going to get like 2 minutes in and they're going to go, I don't know about that. And they're going to run off. But the people who stay are the people that go, okay, tell me more. Cause I want to get over my own inhibitions, right? Inhibitions. We want to get over our own inhibitions.
100%.
You know, I think I mentioned to you before, I'm a recovering alcoholic and I've been sober for, it'll be 38 years this summer.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, thank you. You know, that's my second shot at life. And, when I speak from the podium, I am talking to my wise ass self sitting in the back of the room that does not want to end up giving up alcohol, does not believe life can be better, does not, you know, but has like a little tiny bit of hope that maybe I'm wrong. right? I need to speak to that person, because if I just go get up there and go, oh, life is wonderful without drinking, they're not going to believe me. But if I say, I didn't want this either, I didn't want this either, and it turned out to be the best thing for me, that's relatable. That draws people in. And when I say, I didn't always listen to my intuition, but now I do, and let me shorten the learning curve for you so you don't wait as long as I did to start honoring these things.
And that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
To be able to do that. So what would you like to see happening with your gifts as far as from getting them out there? Do you have a vision as to how more people are going to find you?
Finally willing to be visible. I mean, like a week ago.
That's awesome. That is so awesome.
Yeah, I've had like, and I think this is like a current, you know, this lifetime and past lifetimes, it was not safe for me to be out there and saying, this is what I do and this is who I help. Not just because of skeptics, but because of people who might be jealous that want to, you know, I always have this vision of somebody with a bow and arrow hiding in the bushes ready to get me.
Ready to snipe you.
And, so what would I like to, I'd like a lot more visibility. I've always had this. If you look at my thousands of notebooks of like, you know, my visioning for my life that I tend to like write down and then forget about, I'd like to be speaking to people. I'd like to be touching a lot of lives. You know, I've been thinking about having a podcast myself. I'd like to be on, you know, speaking in front of big groups of people.
Right. We share a similar vision in that.
I've done that in recovery with sober people. And it's just exhilarating. Have I gotten through this whole thing without swearing? Because I think I have.
You have. You're good. I'm very restrained.
I almost ruined it just then. But it's,
no. You can swear. You can swear in this show. It's for adults. It's adult content.
All right. Well, it's
so just let it fly.
Okay. Yeah. It's exhilarating to help turn the lights on for somebody else.
That's wonderful. You know? Yeah, I do.
And to give them the encouragement to, you know, it's like when I go to the beach, Jim, I think, you know, I have the religion of the beach. the beach is my church. And I want everybody to go to the beach and feel how wonderful it is. The whole thing, the sand, the sky, the sea, the smell, the beautiful waves on a cloudy day, on a sunny day, all of that.
All the senses.
That's exhilarating to me, okay? And I have that same feeling from the soul. Be more yourself. I actually have arrived at a tagline, be more you, have more joy. You know? I want people to feel safe, to be themselves, and to know that your spirit is big enough to protect you from the people that don't want you to be yourself.
Right.
No, it's not just people, from the things that discourage you from being yourself.
And there's plenty out there that'll do that. That's for sure.
But that's part of that's the adventure the soul came for, is this challenge. You're going to try to keep me. Lately, this is funny because I'm not a big football fan, but my guides keep showing me that your spirit wants to run all the way down the field and score that touchdown, right? And everything else wants to run interference and keep you from getting there. And did I use all the right words?
Yeah. No.
And,
no, you're,
and then
you're
in
fine.
The ninth inning, no, I'm kidding.
Yeah, that's perfect. Great analogy. Mixed metaphors there. That's wonderful. Well,
you know, I do think we're not supposed to be joyful every minute of every day, because that would be exhausting. And we wouldn't have anything to compare it to. But I do think we are meant for joy. I do think we're all meant for joy. And some of that joy comes from helping each other.
That's wonderful. And thank you. Thank you. Okay. As anyone can tell you that's listened to the podcast before, this is the section when I ask the guests some musical questions, and this is pillar 3 of our show. And as I mentioned regularly, music is the tie that binds, and I believe everyone has a soundtrack that accompanies their life, if you just take a moment to think about it. So you're ready for the musical questions?
I am ready. My answers might be different than what I told you before.
Well, that's okay. What was the first song you fell in love with from the radio, or one that you can think of that you heard and remember saying, oh, I can't wait to hear that one again?
My Cherie Amour by Stevie Wonder.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I love a little Stevie Wonder.
And I love things that are melodic. You know, it's just got such a wonderful...
Oh, smooth melody. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I like that. You know, that's... Nobody's had that one. So that's great. Did your family have a song that everyone would belt out?
I've been thinking and thinking and thinking. I think all of our road trips were like while we were sleeping. Parents had this strategy of, you know, we're going to leave in the middle of the night. So no, we did not have a song.
Yeah. Wake up. Yeah. No, that's okay. That's okay. Do you have a hype list?
A what?
A hype list for your music? You know, songs that make you want to go out and absolutely kick.
Oh, the Get Me Jazz.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It changes, but I like, I really like Brand New Day by Sting. Turn the clock to zero, honey. We'll sell the stocks and spend all the money. We're starting up a brand new day. I love that. Not about the spending and stuff, but just the energy of it is just like, it's way, you know, U2 has a song also called Brand New Day, but it's not as uplifting as this. What else?
I don't know that one. I know the Beautiful Day by U2.
Okay, that's what I meant.
Okay.
It's not as uplifting as, you got to check out Brand New Day. It really gets you jazzed.
I will, and we'll put it on the playlist for sure.
Yeah, and then sometimes I go more spiritual. Ricky Byers, who used to be the music director at Agape out in L.A., she's prolific. She's written so many songs, and I love, I don't understand it, but I love this song called Genesis, which... Mm. Says, I'm here for my God to reveal what was said in the beginning. And cool. So it's just very moving to me.
No, I like that.
I think that's my soul understands it better than my head does.
Okay. So what about when you were a senior in high school? Did you have a song that you and your friends would belt out?
Well, we were big James Taylor, Carly Simon, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young hadn't really hit us yet, but I'm going to say I haven't got time for the pain, because after I was run over, the guy I'd been talking to at the time was a DJ at the local radio station, and he played that song the next morning and dedicated it to me.
Oh, how cool.
Sweet, yeah. No, that's, and it kind of sums it up, too, because I did not have time to sit there and be a victim. You know,
that's wonderful. What song best describes you currently?
I'm just gonna answer what comes to me. I would say Pharrell Williams, Happy.
Oh, I like that's great. That's great.
Yeah,
I like that. Do you have a guilty pleasure song, one that would be a complete surprise if somebody heard, I can't believe you have that on your playlist?
What guilty in terms of?
Well, mine, for example, you know, nobody would ever think that mine would be Backstreet Boys, Everybody, you know.
Oh, cool. I don't really have a lot of shame around music. I love all kinds of music.
I do, too.
I think one that would surprise you. I used to get drunk and cry to Angel from Montgomery by Bonnie Raitt. I mean, that's a great.
I love Bonnie Raitt. I love Bonnie Raitt. She is so soulful. Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I go dark too. Lately, you know, I mentioned offline that my dog died a couple months ago. So I'll start crying now. Sometimes you just need something that evokes the emotion, you know, lets the emotion out. And I've been in my head playing Love Has No Pride, because it says, oh God, here we go. I can't. I'd give anything to see you again.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to put my pup down on March 10th and I had to put her down, and that is, as a matter of fact, her ashes are right behind me.
Oh.
And I've got her.
Oh.
Her little baby.
Oh, how cute. That was her baby.
Yep. That was her baby. And yeah, that's, I understand the,
okay,
the
emotion. Be crying. Okay.
No, I,
it's hard.
It is. Yeah. And especially, I work out of my house and she was my companion and I'd have the conversations with her every day to the point where my wife would, you know, you're talking to her. She'd say, you know, you're talking to her like she's a human. I said, yeah. Well, I have the best conversations with her. She doesn't give me any grief.
Who said we shouldn't?
Yeah, right.
Who said we shouldn't? They're a being. They're a being. I always call Reggie.
Just love.
You know, he would be under my feet right now at the desk. He was everywhere. I used to say, I mean, because I've been divorced and single for a while, and he really kind of filled a lot of my needs, except for, you know, maybe sex and picking up the tab once in a while.
right.
But he was such a good companion and he was devoted to, I mean, he's raised the bar. Like when I get in another relationship, we better look at each other the way that he and I looked at each other.
Because that's great.
That's, you know, I want more of that.
So let me ask you, do you have a song that you believe could impact the way people think about the world around them if they just listen to it?
Well, pop quiz. I wasn't prepared for that one. What could impact the world?
If you can't think about one now, that's fine.
Well, the one that's
just, you can email
me
back.
I just mentioned it to my one of my clients yesterday. Again, Ricky Byers has this song called I Rest in Thee. And it's kind of an end of, like, after you're gone, I rest in thee. I'm in the arms of spirit, whatever. But it says, my destiny has been fulfilled by you, oh God. And that's I think
that's
what I'm leaning towards. That's what I'm yearning for, is to get to the end this time and not go, oh, wait, I didn't finish.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I
don't want that I could have had a V8 moment.
Yeah. It's understandable.
You know, I think all of us, whether we know it or not, we have that yearning. It's like I've been saying to my clients, it's like you go to the store for milk and you come home and you've got a bag full of groceries with everything but the milk.
That's the story of my life.
And it's like you don't want to get to the end and go, shit, I forgot the milk.
Yeah, that's when I turn around after I walk right in the door with a bag of groceries, put it on the table and go back out. So I'm very familiar with that. Mine's mostly because of ADHD, and I see a shiny object and I go, oh, that's kind of cool.
Well, you know what that says to me though, Jim? You probably cycle through lifetimes pretty fast. Like you jumped off the roof and then you came back.
I think you're probably right
there. Going, you know, a couple of eons going, maybe I'll try that human thing again.
No, I'm a jump in and see what happens kind of person.
Yeah.
So there are songs you hear that ring so, so true, and they can stop you in your tracks. The lyrics of the song sound like they were written specifically for you or by you. What's the song for you?
What did I tell you last time?
I don't remember.
I don't either. What's the song that feels like it was written for me and by me? Like
by you, or written specifically for you or by you?
Well, I'm going to go back to I Haven't Got Time for the Pain.
Okay.
Right now. I probably have a different answer tomorrow, but yeah.
And that's okay. I mean, every day brings a new song in my life.
It's a little negative, but it's like, and I do think pain is the touchstone of spiritual growth, but I don't want to dwell.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get the lesson and I want to move forward.
No, I'm right there with you. Right there with you. Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing everything you've shared with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate that. Oh, no. I know we've come back and forth. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, it's just about time to cue the music for today's episode, but don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to the Drop the Needle podcast to stay up to date on our latest episodes. I would also like to take a moment to thank everyone again for tuning in today, and I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Drop the Needle podcast. I'd also like to thank our very special guest, Miss Kat Chaber, for being on our show today. So, Kat, thank you again. How can people get in touch with you if they want to reach out to you now?
Sorry, I just heard crashing over my head. Well, hopefully by the time this drops, I will have my website up, which is Kat Chaber, KatJaibur.com. So that's a good way. You could also find me on Facebook. You can find me semi on Instagram and LinkedIn.
Well, if you'd like, you can give me your email address where people can reach you, and I'll put it on the show notes too.
Okay, that'd be good.
Would that be okay?
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right.
And I invite everyone to head on over to our show notes, where there's going to be a link to the playlist from today's episode. And like I said, I'll also make sure that I put Kat's email address in there so you'll be able to get in touch with her. All right, my Drop the Needle posse, like Billy Joel says, from the highs to the lows to the end of our show, this is the end of our show. Until next time, this is Jim Allstott wishing you infinite health and happiness and the perfect playlist for your life. Thank you again for being the best part of us. Catch you next time.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.